We are starting 125, 124, 125, beginning of the parashas told us, and amazing. We're going to start with a Rashi, and then this whole class tonight will be based on not one Rashi, no, not one word, no, one letter, one letter. But here we go. So the opening words of the parashas start. And these are the offspring of Isaac, son of Abraham. Abraham beget Isaac. That's English. The Eila told us Yitzchak ben Avram. These are the children of Yitzchak ben Avram, who, by the way, Avram loves Yitzchak. Rashi, very fascinating. The Eila told us Yitzchak. These are the children of Yitzchak. That's the heading of Rashi. Rashi adds on, if you have it there, Yaakov, if you're going to put it on the Sfaria, first Rashi in the Parsha, Yaakov, the Esav ha'amurim b'parsha. In English, that means, who are we talking about are the children of Yitzchak? The children of Yitzchak are Yaakov and Esav. Now, you don't have to have an advanced degree in anything to know that the children of Yitzchak are Yaakov and Esav. So it's a little odd that Rashi would say it. And Rashi adds on another one. By the way, it's Yaakov and Esav that we're going to talk about. Rashi, do I really need you for this? The English, if you allow to be a little bit for the comedic, not for being disrespectful, D-U-H, duh. Yeah. Eila told us Yitzchak, duh, Yaakov and Esav. Now, so the question we're starting from is, what does Rashi say? Why does Rashi say that the children of Yitzchak are Yaakov and Esav in this parasha? What is Rashi trying to tell us? What are you trying to teach us here? What's the point of Rashi? Now, we have discussed literally endless amount of times. I don't know who's on that screen. Akiva, Charles, you've been in enough classes. Rashi is very short written. And usually, he's answering questions that he doesn't say. We have to figure out the questions. And there are numerous interpretations over the history of the world that have interpretations. There's a Chumash out there, which I've discussed in the past, that has 11 of the early commentators going back like the 1500s, 1600s. I call it the football Chumash because it's 11. It's 11 commentators, and he put it together in one Chumash. That they are just on Rashi, not even on the Chumash, just explaining where Rashi came.
So here, just 11 after you with football.
Excellent. There are 11 players per side on a field at every given time. 11. A team sends out 11 players per time.
That's including one. The quarterback.
Yes. Yes. So we have 11. So I always call the football Chumash. I'm not the only one said it, but it has 11 people. Now, so we have a similar question of what is going on here. So one of the early commentators has a bomb question. And he claims Rashi's answering this question. How Rashi answers the question a little more difficult, but here goes the unbelievable question. The question is this. There's a pasuk in Mishpatim, which we're not going to even have to talk about, but the pasuk in Mishpatim and a Rashi starts like this. Ve'ela Mishpatim, these are the ordinances that you shall place before them. Ve'ela Mishpatim, tassim plan. And Rashi right away there, one of the most interesting, he waits all the way over there. That's what part of the question. It says, and these, the Eila. So Rashi says from a medrash, Kol Mokam, everywhere in the Torah. We'll put this Rashi in when we get a chance. Shenema Eila, when it says these, Postel Esri Shainim. It's ridding itself of the earlier statement. So when it starts and says Eila, these, ignore the past. The Eila, and these, like it says by Mishpatim, Moisav Alashanim, adds to the original thing. So Rashi saying Mishpatim, what's going on Mishpatim? I'll tell you, Ma'ari is showing him because in Yisroel you had the Ten Commandments, just like the Ten Commandments are giving at Sinai. Also, no, Parashat Mishpatim giving at Sinai. So the extra vav by the Eile Mishpatim is to tell you, don't think the Mishpatim laws were given by Moses himself. No, they also belong to the Sinai. Very simple. Now comes the obvious question back to us. Forget about why Rashi waited to tell us this rule. Eile and Ve'ela, literally 40% into the Torah, because the word Eila and Ve'ela starts many times. We have about Parshas Noach already. Eila told us Noach. Well, we have a bigger question. Ve'ela told us Yitzchak. Vav means and these are the offspring of Isaac. I've looked at the second before. What do we have from last week? What are we adding to it? Here it says Yishmael's genealogy. What? We are comparing Yitzchak to Yishmael, Yitzchak's kids to Yishmael's kids. What's going on here? So Rashi had, according to some, Rashi had this question that he doesn't tell us, that what does it say, Ve'ela, and these, it should just say these, what's and these? I'll tell you why. Don't go with the usual rule, and connects to the past. Can't be. We have no connection between Yitzchak and Yishmael, no connection between Yitzchak and Yishmael, because that's not an and. We're not grouping ourselves. Rashi says, I'm going to tell you an exceptional rule here. The and in this parasha is coming to tell you, Yaakov and Esav futuristically in the parasha. That means the and is not going on the past like 99% of the time. You and goes what prior to it, and going futuristically. And Rashi's saying, what did we say? That's said in this parasha, obviously, because Rashi is telling, I want to tell you the story of Yaakov and Esav. We like to say Yaakov and Esav, but when you talk about the children of Yitzchak, Esav was born first. It could have been said Esav and Yaakov. So no, what Rashi is doing, he's saying, I want to tell you something. Look at the verb, it's going to be confusing. Yeah, don't look past, look future, and I'll tell you why. It's going on the future of the entire parasha, like it says. Hamur Basha. And by the way, it's the whole story of Yaakov and Esau, because I don't want to start with Esau, because that's only the first 2 seconds. Otherwise, we'll say Eila told us Yitzchak, means these are the children who were born to Yitzchak, the first 5 seconds of their life. Esau then Yaakov. He said, no, the entire Parsha, Yaakov becomes first because of his piety and really because of the fact that he poured off the birthright. So we have a serious question. Rashi's answer, a little bit of a stretch. Mm. He's saying that Rashi over there in Mishpatim says the word Vav adds to the previous statement. No, Vav doesn't add to the previous statement. Here we have a Vav. Rashi says, I don't understand it. Rashi comes up with an answer. We're going to go futuristically. A little interesting. But our question now stands very strong. Why does it say, and these are the offspring of Isaac, the son of Abraham, which seems to be connecting to the parasha before. Kasha Bor is going to be the genealogy of Yishmael. Or by the way, if you even go, some will do, we'll see how, the beginning of that last chapter, last paragraph, mm-hmm. That's talking about Avram remarrying and having those children as well. But again, we don't want to put Yitzchak with that. Are we going to do that? So I saw an early commentator, mm-hmm. Chaim Paltiel, one of my favorites. Ooh, Chaim Paltiel. Mm-hmm. Chaim Paltiel, I think it's a little too short to figure out exactly what he's saying, but he wants to say that the reason why we say Ve'ela told us Yitzchak, because we are connecting Yitzchak to Yishmael himself. Why? As we know, Yishmael did repentance at the end of his life. Since Yishmael did repentance at the end of his life, we want to say, by the way, we have another thing to tell you. Yitzchak and Yishmael can go together. Ve'ela can go together with Yishmael, because Yitzchak and Yishmael go together. That's what he says. The minor problem that I have, but obviously I just don't understand what he's saying, is that are we connecting with these words, the fathers, Yitzchak, and the father, Yishmael, or we're connecting the children? Here's Yishmael's genealogy, and here's the beginning of, these are the children, the offspring of Yitzchak. So it's not me personally. I find it a little, the connection, again, a little vague. Rashi saying futuristically, I don't like too much. Chaim Baltil, I normally love it. But I don't know if I'm comparing father to father. It's a little tough. Second, some want to say, they want, before we get to my wild idea, not only mine, they want to say that the Ela comparison is going to the previous parasha, to Yishmael, and his genealogy. And as I said in the previous parak, Abraham, with his second marriage, having those children, because it wants to point out something, by the way, just like Abraham had some good kids and some bad kids. Yeah, Yitzchak, he also had Yishmael. And not only Yishmael, by the way, who were all bad. He had all these people from Hagar, we call Keturah, a bunch of people there, Zimran, Yashkan, he's from Yakshan, Midan, Midyan, Yishbak, Vesuach. He had these six people with their genealogy. We're not so impressed. So the parsha will say, Ve'ela, by the way, you want to know, by the way, Yitzchak has a split right here. Rashi says right away, Yaakov and Esav, there's an Esav coming at Esav. There's a connection, because Avram is the same thing. They want to go a little bit further. Some commentators want to point out, it's not, don't look at Avram, it's because it took time to whittle out the negative DNA genealogy from Terach. And the Gemara brings down in other locations that sometimes it takes 3 generations to get rid of it. So it makes sense. Terach's first generation is Avram. He's still going to have those two. Yitzchak's the second one. He's going to have those. He's going to have some, you know, you're refining it. Gets the Yaakov, his table's clean. He's got the good sons. So the reason why we're saying Ve'ela is not connecting Yishmael and Yitzchak as themselves, but connecting the fact that Abraham and Yitzchak each produced some not so positive energy kids into the world. That's what I want to say as well. I saw a wild interpretation. I think it's worth pointing out. Very wild, but it's really impressive. I said this, going on the words of Chaim Paltiel with Charles Love. Chaim Paltiel again said that the reason why we're putting Ve'ela is because Yishmael was good and Yitzchak was good. So the question is, okay, Yitzchak was good, but he still produced an Esav, like in our second interpretation. Once in a while, the comparison of the two was not for themselves. It's for Abraham himself. Because the connection is Abraham on the wicked people of potentially Yishmael and Esav. Yishmael, as we said before, repented. When did he repent? Because Avram was told that you're going to go to your grave in goodness. Gemara says that's why Avram knew Yishmael would repent. And Yishmael repented before Avram got to see it, according to many. Avram saw Yishmael make a full return. Not his kids, but as he made a full return. A positive on Avram's negative Yishmael is that he saw the positive in his lifetime. Similarly, it's like a mirror image almost, Avram did not see the negative energy of Esav. Because as we're going to learn in this week's parasha, it comes up that the day that Esav revealed to the world and he violated all the laws was when Abraham died. And according to many, as we spoke in the past, Abram was supposed to live 180 years. Rashi said this week, Pasha. 5 years deducted. Why? Because he didn't want it to see this. So there is a concept of Yishmael turning good. Avram gets to see it. Esav turning negative, but Avram didn't get to see it. So the connection will be that way. So again, start over. Quick recap. What is Rashi? We don't know what Rashi's saying. Rashi just says that Ela told us is going Yaakov and Esav in this week, Pasha. We said, what is that going on? We said, okay, some of the commentators point out that that's really based on the vault. Because there really shouldn't be a vav here. We shouldn't have a connection. So Rashi can say, yes, going futuristically. But on this vav connection, we already get three answers. Either Yishmael Yitzchak, Yishmael the Tshuva, that's good and good. Either the good and the bad together, Avram produced good and bad, Yitzchak produced good and bad, that connects them. Or the weird one, Yishmael's good and Esav's bad, really connect, that Avram Avinu didn't get to see either one. But now goes the wild idea. This is the one we wanted to focus on tonight. We have one version of events. Yitzchak gets married at 40 years old, according to Rashi, and he waits. He waits until 60 years old to start davening. 60 years old, he realizes that he's got to start. And that's why I think it says in the Chumash, but it says he was 40 years old when he took Rivka. But remember, they only gave birth when he was 60. But he wasn't really davening till that time. He wasn't davening because he figured there was not an emergency situation going on there. There was nothing out of the ordinary that he had not had a child yet, from 40 to 60, based on a few things. So he wasn't davening. Okay, and then he started davening and was answered.
So he wasn't davening for children.
For children. Right. Good point. He wasn't davening for children. And then at a certain point, he said, okay, I'm going to start davening. And he was pretty much, I would say, instantly successful. Now, this is what I saw from Rav Shlomo Kluger at about five different locations. I'm going to modify it a little bit and put it all into one because he has a lot there. And he says like this. There is a Gemara in Brachas, 10a, bottom of the page for Charles, if he wants. End story there. We did bring it up recently. That Chizkio HaMelech did not have any kids. He had no children. He wasn't married. And the Navi came to him, the prophet came to him and told him, doomsday prophecy is here. You are going to die. He was sick. You're going to die from this sickness. And by the way, you ain't getting into heaven. Chizkio's like, whoa, that is the most aggressive visiting the sick person ever. You're supposed to come and ask me if you want to give me tea. And I'm saying, what is going on here? Back off, man. What are you talking about? I'm going to die is already negative news. And no heaven. I mean, come on. So Yeshaya tells him, listen, I got the prophecy because you were not trying to have children. You didn't get married not trying to have children. Bad son. So Chizkio HaMelech says to him, hey, you know why I didn't try to have children? Because I have prophecy too. And my children were going to be bad news for the world. So Yeshaya says to him, that's not your business. Your business is to do what you're supposed to do and have the kids. You have the mitzvah to have kids. Don't worry about future prophecies. Don't base a life on future prophecies. Chizkio tells him, oh, that's you hope? Shaya says, yeah. He goes, have a great idea. Maybe me and you will make the show together. Maybe I'll produce children and then marry your kids. The grandchildren. And Yeshaya is like, no, I just can't deliver the prophecy. I'll leave the bad descendants on your side of the genealogy and my Americanized version of what's going on.
And I thought he marries his daughter, Yeshaya's daughter, doesn't he?
That's what he asked him. He said, oh, right. Yeah, let me marry his daughter, right. And Yeshaya says, no. Yeshaya said, no. Go find someone else. My daughter doesn't want to have bad kids. I have modified that person. Correct.
But maybe they would have been good if she married him.
That's what he was saying, maybe. In this conversation.
Would have happened with Dina and Asaph.
Maybe. Good stuff. Mm-hmm. Oh. So now I want to say this. Yitzchak also had prophecy. Yitzchak knew that he was going to have an Asaph. And he got him. Yitzchak was in a weird position right now. If he tries to have kids, he's married. If he davens and tries to have kids, there's a positivity brought to the world, but there's a major negativity brought to the world. So he's not sure what to do. He's like, what do I do here? So Yitzchak did an amazing move. He decided, I'm just going to do the bare minimum. That means I'm going to get married. I will do the duties to have children, but I am absolutely not going to daven their kids. Rivka might not be capable of having children, fine by me. I'm not asking for a miracle because I'm asking for a miracle that would potentially create the biggest negativity in the history of the world. Why would I ask for a miracle of negativity? I'm going to do nothing. But Avram Avinu, he knew what was going on. He realized, yes, I'll get married. 5 years, 10 years, 15 years. I know the power of your prayer, my son Yitzchak. I know what you could do. Why don't you have any kids? What's going on here? Avram makes the chess game. He's making the chess game. And he realizes, Yitzchak must be afraid of bringing Esav into the world. Avram says, you know what? have to teach my son something. But I'm not going to give him Musar. Avram Zana Musanik. He acts. And what he does.
Marries Keturah.
Excellent, Charles. Mm. He goes and marries Keturah. And he produces. Garbage. I don't want to say it. He doesn't produce the greatest of people. Some bad people get. Now, eventually, also good people come out also. But the first. And guess what? Avram Avinu, as we know, was what? He was 99 years old, had no children, miraculously came up with a kid at 99 or 100, whatever you call it. 99 to 100, you had a kid. Okay, that's huge. Torah talks about the hugeness of that miracle. Okay, at what point now? Now we're 37 years later to the Akedah, and now we're X amount of years later, when he's at least 3 years later when he got married, 40, and Avram sent Eliezer, and then after that, Avram gets married. It's possible to say that Avram waited till Yitzchak turned 60. Why? Because he was trying to see, let me see if this guy's going to have kids. It could be did it right away. Either way, Avram Avinu was anywhere between 137, but I would say no, 140 is more likely, because it would have been 137 at the Akedah. 3 years later, when Yitzchak gets married. Or you could even say, that's when Eliezer is being sent out. Or you could say even waited the 20 more years. So I would say 140, 150. Let's take the cheap number, 137. I'm like, let's go 140, more likely. 140. What are the odds? Torah never mentions, by the way. I got a miracle for you. Avram's producing not one, not two, not three, not four. And no one said they were twins or what are quads. He's producing, I think it's six children here. Six children at the minimum age, 137, 140, 160. Now that doesn't happen naturally, guys.
Well, and Hagar is probably also very old.
I don't know how old Hagar is. That's a question of who she is. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If
Keturah is Hagar, correct.
It's not right. Everybody holds that, right?
No, not so clear. No. Rashi says it, but the Midrash, not at all. So, Avram's producing at a tremendous success rate here, at an advanced age. And he's not saying anything to his son. The obvious result is going to be that Yitzchak's going to say to himself, wait a second, how's my father, 130 plus, producing this many children, my father's in power of prayer as well. That means my father's davening. Does my father not realize who these people, these antagonists, these negative energies that are coming out now? What is my father doing? Oh, that means my father knows. Or his ruling is that even if there's going to be negative children coming out, it doesn't make a difference. You're supposed to try to have kids, not just play a natural thing. I'll do what I can, bare minimum. No. My father's praying for these negative energies for whatever reason. We'll get to them in a second minute. So Yitzchak says, you know what that means? It's time for me to stop praying too. It means even though I know I'm having an Esav, but you know what? I got to do something good out of this. So the reason why it says here, Ve'ele, told us Yitzchak, the Vav means and these are the offspring of Isaac. And we said, what's and? What did it do to the pastor for? The Shmuel's kids? No. Keturah's kids? We said no. The answer is yes. Because the only reason that Yitzchak's even attempting to daven to have kids is because of Keturah kids. And some want to say that's why the pasuk is so Shlomo Kugel. Look at the pasuk. Very strange pasuk, the first pasuk, which Charles will put up on the screen. The Eilat told us Yitzchak ben Avram, these are the offspring of Isaac, the son of Avram, dash Avram, Hailat Yitzchak. Avram is the father of Yitzchak. And that is what we call a repetitious phrase. These are the offspring of Yitzchak ben Avram, who, by the way, Avram gave birth to Yitzchak. That's obvious, right? A, the son of B. B is his father of A. Yes, that's, again, extra seemingly words. Some want to say, or Shlomo Kluger seems to say this, that the reason we're saying Ve'ele to connect it there is also to say this idea. These are the offspring of Isaac ben Avram. Who are the offspring of Isaac ben Avram? Only because Avram gave birth to Yitzchak. And Yitzchak was looking at Avram to decide if he should have children or not. All the children of Yitzchak only came out, exist as a result of Avraham producing kids. Not that, of course, it's Avraham producing the other kids. But Yitzchak looked at his father and was watching his father, his Gadol HaDor, his rabbi, and saying, oh, he's producing these kids of this woman. I got to do the same thing. Now, one of the simple reasons would be, from Avraham, as we said a second ago, the reason that Avraham would produce these children on a short-term situation is because long-term, someone eventually can come out. You don't have it all evil. For example, Yisrael came out of Keturah. He's from that line. Who's the follower of Moshe Rabbeinu. That's a very good line to have. Chizkiah Melech, by the way, fascinating. He produced a great-great-grandchild called Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Now the Gemara in Brachas, I think it's 28b or 29b, drawing a blank right, I think 28b, says, let's thought of this now. He says that when Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was dying, one of the famous all-time great speeches, too late, I've got to get up with my Brachas here. One of the all-time great speeches, his student came in, they said, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, it's about to happen. He starts crying, he says, they said, what are you crying for? Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai? I don't know where I'm going. There are two roads in front of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. But then at one point in this all-time masterful speech, hey, well, I'll send you a link, put it on. He says, by the way, guys, first of these famous stories, clear the room out because I'm going to pass away. That means all the vessels will become contaminated. Okay, Pnu Kalem, get rid of the stuff. I'm going to pass away. Oh, by the way, can you bring a chair here? It's like, bring a chair for? I see Chizkiah coming. My great-great-grandfather, Chizkiah Melech, is coming. Now, there's a lot of interpretations. Maybe we'll go through a share once. I can give you all of my father's couple, a lot of interpretations. But according to what we're saying now, it's very good. Chizkiah Melech held all along that he should not be having kids. His immediate kids were bad news. I don't want to have these kids. And we told him, don't get involved with Hashem's advantage. Yeshaya told him, don't get involved. Whatever Hashem's thinking, you don't get involved with the master plan. You do what's up to you. Chizkiah passes away. He had the kids. Before he had the kids, they told me not getting into heaven. Had the kids, we're assuming he gets into heaven. But he's in heaven and he's probably thinking to himself, gotta be honest, Hashem, that was I did the right thing. You told me I did my job, but I gotta be honest. Look at the negativity being produced by my son. I wasn't wrong, he was right. That's the beauty of it.
Was he actually a bad egg?
Yeah, I think he was Achaz. Yeah, terrible kid, you're one of the worst. So what happens? Hashem says, stay in heaven and enjoy yourself. A few generations later, could be 10 more. 10 years later, Yechon Mizake is passing away. Yechon Mizake was one of the great all-time greats. As they say in America, first battle Hall of Fame. And Yechon Mizake is passing out, and Hashem says, Chizkiah, go downstairs and see the end of a guy's life. During a guy's life, you never know what the guy will turn out. End of a guy's life. Go greet your descendants, who you were scared to produce because of the immediate descendants. Go greet them. So Chizkiah came down, not to, most of the people learn this, Chizkiah came down to take Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai off. Chizkiah was telling Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, you thought you did something wrong, maybe we'll do it at a different time. Really, you did something right. I'm proving you did something right. That's the simple way of learning about it. Instead, we're learning the other way. Chizkiah was coming, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was showing Chizkiah, look what you did right, without him knowing about it. Right? That was the idea. So the idea is, even though we don't have prophecy, someone's knowing bad things, Avram was saying, listen, I'm going to daven. I'm going to daven to have these kids. And Yitzchak looks back and says, you know what? I'm going to daven to have an Esav as well. I'm going to daven. Now, the easy answer is not the Esav descendants. Rashi could be telling us, which I don't think is on this interpretation, Yaakov and an Esav. Means maybe, who cares about Esav? We still got Yaakov. Could be, or it could be even within Esav itself, futuristic descendants. Absolutely. That we need in the world. Absolutely. So the point is, the word ve'ela, not the word, the letter, ve. The and is all to tell us to connect the story of Yitzhak Avram, to connect the idea of the praying for no matter what. As I've said before, they once asked the Stipler, the father of Chaim Kanevsky, he was like at that point, 75, 80, whatever the story was, and asked him what he davens for every day. He says, I daven for my son, Reb Chaim. At that point, Reb Chaim Kanevsky had written 5 all-time great volumes as far. You never stop davening. The point of our class tonight is, you daven before you have the kids. Certainly, we don't think we're going to have bad kids. And you daven when you have the kids, even if they're doing superb like a podcast is doing, you continue davening, and hopefully Mashiach will come and greet us the next couple of days and tell us how all our prayers were answered. Thank you.
Amen.